Praise God. I didn't get a chance, if you will, open up your Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. If I didn't get a chance to ask, but I hope the chart's back there from last week. If you don't mind, check if you can check that out for me, Chad. I appreciate it. I should have asked before church and all. Life is choice driven. I'm going to say that again. I thank you for two people who responded. Life is choice driven. We have to choose every day. Amen? And aren't you glad that God's given us the right to choose? Aren't you glad that you wasn't made and created by God as a robot? Where God made all the decisions for you, you didn't ever have to. I mean, it sounds good on the surface until you realize a robot is a robot. I mean, there's nothing. Once you got one, you can just manufacture another one. But God made us special. I said God created us special. God created us like Himself so that we have the ability and the right, a God-given right, to make choices in our life. Aren't you glad that somebody else don't do all your choosing for you? You know, wasn't you glad some of you when you got out of the house and mom and dad quit choosing? Yeah, I mean, you thought it was going to be fun, but it got to become responsibility, didn't it? You know, what we thought was going to be great, getting out of the house where mom, dad's doing all that choosing and all that. I mean, I thought it was going to be great, but then we have to be responsible. We have to live responsible lives, amen? Because we basically have to answer for the choices we choose. That's really what this is all about, is learning how to live the life that God has given us and learn how to choose right choices. Learn how to make right choices. Because whatever choices we make, we're going to have to live with. The Lord gave me this, and I just want to share it again. We are walking in today the choices of our yesterday. Now, when I say yesterday, I don't mean Tuesday. I meant all the days behind us is our yesterday. And whatever we did in yesterday, we're walking it out today. We're walking and living it out. Because basically, our whole life is governed by our choices. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, our choices have consequences, which are both good and bad. So you make a bad choice, you get a bad consequence. Make a good choice, you get a good consequence. There's no way that we can blame God for what is in our life, except for the good things that He's made available for us, and then we had to make the choice to receive them. You know, as much love as God has loved us with, that He was willing to send His only Son out of the Trinity and allow Him and purpose Him to become a human man just like us, in order that through His humanity He might redeem us from our transgression in Adam. And as much as that is to us, we still have to choose it. Because God doesn't make it happen for anybody. Amen. And we want to definitely, as I share this, we want to definitely be lifting up the people that was in the tornadoes in Oklahoma and the family. You know, I know God was working there. Why? Because it was only 24, I think, deaths. Now, 24 is too many, but it was only 24 deaths. Some of them were children. But let me rest your mind. God wasn't in that. God wasn't in that storm. Amen. And we need to realize that. And part of what I'm sharing even tonight and in this message is dealing with that, because we have to understand religiously, a lot of people think that God just runs everything, good and bad. But that's not true, not according to the Word of God. If God run everything, do you think it'd be in the mess it's in? God don't run everything. And let me give you a clue. God's not schizophrenic. We don't serve a schizophrenic God. He's not one way one day and another way another day. The situation comes with the freedom that God has given man to make choices. And what we realize is when our father and mother called Adam and Eve made wrong choices, there were consequences that you and I had to live in and the world had to live in. Because there was something that was called the curse that was released from the wrong choices that Adam and Eve made. So that when choices are made wrong, it brings the curse. That's not the, and let me say this, that's not the judgment of God. God wasn't judging people out there. Amen. God wasn't judging. God judged the world in Jesus. Are you hearing me? And he found all of us not guilty in the work of Jesus. He made Jesus guilty in order to pay the penalty for the transgression. So when we see something like that going on out there in Oklahoma, it's not God. When we get through with this particular message, it's going to help us understand. Because would you put that up for me? If you notice, there's two lines, and then there's a choice written in the middle. There's basically only two choices in life, either God or the devil. Hello? Now, I know a lot of people don't think about, well, I'm choosing the devil. No. If you choose anything in the line underneath the devil, you choose the devil. And the thing is, whenever we come into this world, we didn't have a choice. We were all brought in under the fall of Adam and under the dominion, really, basically, of the devil in darkness. Hello? Because had there never been a fall, there would never have been a death. God didn't create man from to die. God created man to live. Don't you believe that? And he created us to live forever. And he created a world that could sustain us forever. Only through corruption has the world decayed. Only through corruption and through the wrong leadership being turned over to the devil has things gone the way it's gone. And we're seeing more and more and more and more and more of the manifestations of that in our generation. Now, if the church of Jesus Christ wasn't here, you can imagine what it would be like. Yeah, if you want to read the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, you'll find out what it's going to be like when the church is not here. Because the church of Jesus Christ is holding back what could be. I'm going to tell you one thing. The devil don't like no human being. Not one. There's no love in him. And especially no love for humans. I think he's kind of convinced himself that he's probably not going to go to hell, and he's going to win this battle at the end time over God. But he's self-deceived if he believes that. But it's not as much, I don't think as much about winning that battle is how many people, humans, that God loves, will he take to hell with him or take to judgment with him. Amen. So we need to understand that there are two basic choices, and that's all we have. There's no gray place. There's no middle ground. There's no place where we can have a little bit of one and a little bit of the other. You either have to have all of one or all of the other one. Amen? Because if you take some of one, some of the other, you're corrupted. But thank God, in Jesus and in God, we're free. Amen? How many of you are free? The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Now, if you will, open up your Bibles with me and let's begin. If you would just kind of hold that, we might could switch to the scripture if we want to. Three scriptures out of Deuteronomy chapter 30 we're going to look at tonight. Verse 14 and 15, and then verse 19. We went over them last week, but I'm just want to, they're just kind of to keep what we are going to be sharing tonight together. Verse 14 says, but the word is very nigh unto you, unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. Everybody say, in the mouth and in the heart. I heard somebody say mine. Let's say that way. In my mouth and in my heart, that thou mayest do it. In other words, the God has designed the ability to do the word by having the word in our mouth and in our heart. Amen. Verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good. You can see it on the chart. And death and evil. Life and death is opposites, and good and evil is opposites. Totally opposite. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Here's an addition. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Choose life. Look at somebody and say, choose life. See, the choice is ours. We have to choose. God doesn't choose for us. The devil would, if you give him a chance, choose for you. But we are the ones who make the choices. Amen? So therefore, we are the ones who bear the responsibility for all the choices that we choose. Except for the fact that we didn't really get in on a choosing whenever Adam and Eve transgressed. We automatically, because we were born of their seed and they were the mama and the papa of the mama and daddy of the whole human race, therefore just being born of them, we entered into their transgression. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that nobody should perish, but that everybody should have everlasting life. Amen? So that we could come out of that. Now, under that we see, if you could slip back real quickly, I'm going to ask you to go back and forth, back to the chart again. If you'll notice, these six things on the first part of the list, I put a little distance between the three and the four, the third one and the fourth one, because these three or six are in this chapter here, and on one side is life, good, and blessing. Everybody say life, good, and blessing. On the other side is death, evil, and curse. Say it with me. Death, evil, and curse. Now, if you notice, life, good, and blessing is under God. That describes God. Amen? God is about life. God is about good. God is about blessing. The devil is about death, about evil, and a curse. That'll help you get your ability to determine like what just took place in Oklahoma. It'll help you get your theology correct, because God will never be on that side and the devil will never be on this side. In other words, if it's life, if it's good, and if it's blessing, it's God. If it's death, evil, and curse, it's the devil. It's not God. So how many of you would say that what took place just recently out in Oklahoma was not life and it was not good and it was not blessing? So therefore, God was not responsible for that. Amen? How many of you would say that was death, it was evil, and it was a part of the curse? Amen? Because, and again, there's no way that God would ever go over to that side and be a part of any of that, and the devil would never come over and be a part of this side. These two are separated, and they cannot be put together. Amen? So this will help us when we're determining, because, I think that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring everything kind of together and mix it together so he can confuse everybody. You know, that's where a lot of the teaching on the fact that God was bringing judgment down, and whenever something bad happens, that's God bringing judgment down. No, my Bible says here, if it's life, blessing, and good, it's of God. Yeah. Isn't that what you read in there with me today? Yeah. Isn't that what it's in there? Mm-hmm. And he said, if I choose the word that God gives me, if I choose the word so that it's in my heart and in my mouth, I can live under life, good, and blessing. Amen. If I don't choose God's word, then I'm going to live under death, curse, and the evil. Amen. So the choice is ours. It's not anybody else's. We have to choose. So we don't want to get confused by religion that tries to mix it all up and tries to confuse people. God is not the author of confusion. Only man gets things confused. Amen. There's no way God would have killed one of those little children. And religion will come along and say, well, God wanted to bring them on home to be with him. That is confusion. God isn't killing any children to bring them home with him. He's not killing any Christians to bring them home with him. Thank God if we die, he'll receive us. Thank God we'll be received and we'll have a good reception. But God isn't killing. God isn't destroying. God isn't taking a life away. And God isn't doing anything bad or anything evil. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to have it in the book? Yeah. I said, isn't it good to have it in the book? This is covenant. Now, this was the old covenant, but everything that God gave them in the old covenant is ours in the new covenant. We just have a better promises. We just have a lot better. Everybody say a lot better. Look with me now to Romans chapter 10, because we want to compare a little bit tonight some things. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, and then verse 17. We'll be using about four verses here. In Romans 10, verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Doesn't sound like the same thing he said over there in Deuteronomy, right? Did it sound similar to you? Same thing. The word's nigh us. Where is it? It's as close as your heart and your mouth. Now, your heart is not your blood pump. It's not the part of you that pumps blood. Your heart, your physical heart can't do anything but pump blood. That's what it was designed to do. It can't do any believing. Your physical heart that pumps blood through your body can't do any believing. God's talking. I really believe God is giving us this area. We understand spirit. How many of you understand spirit, soul, and body? I think you've been here long enough. You understand spirit, soul, and body. But until a person is born again, they don't have a real living spirit. Their spirit is dead in Adam. All right. Now that doesn't mean that they don't have a spirit. You understand? But that spirit is not connected to God. To have a dead spirit doesn't mean that if it was a dead, like you're thinking about dead flesh, then it wouldn't be the same. When Adam and Eve transgressed in the garden, the light of God, which we'll find on our chart later, the light of God, and we'll talk about that a lot, the light of God was inside of Adam's spirit. But when he transgressed, the light went out. The connection between God and man that made them what God had created them to be was the light of God. I mean, no, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. See, we'll see that on this chart as well later when we talk about light and darkness. We may talk a little bit tonight. We may not get to it. But God is light and the devil is dark, the darkness. How many of you know which one supersedes the other? Anybody know? Light always supersedes darkness. Isn't that right? But what happened with Adam was the transgression caused the light to go out in Adam's spirit. So we would call that a dead spirit. Dead because it has no life of God in it. It didn't mean that he didn't have a spirit in there. It just meant that there was... Anybody had a phone in your house? I mean, we mostly have cell phones right now. So I think I got one over here. We talked about it tonight. How many of you know there's a line running to your house from somewhere that makes that phone alive? And without that phone connection, it would be no life in that phone. Right? It'd just be something as a showpiece. You might better keep you one for, what do you call it, antique. You might better save one because these antiques go to get a lot of money, you know, after a while. So you might better keep one of them old phones around. Amen. Anyway, when Adam and Eve did what they did, the connection from God to Adam was cut off so that there was no more light in Adam's spirit because God is light. So where the light was, the darkness came. Hello? You understanding me? So that Adam's spirit would be called spiritually dead because there's no light in it. Light is what brings life. God is what's life. Are you with me? So that there's no life and there's nothing but death in there, and that spirit is cut off from God. And the reason then all of us and everybody that was born of Adam and Eve, we were born, God was working in, God is working and was working in all babies being born. Because there couldn't be a spirit of anything without God. Right? Are you with me? There couldn't be a human with any kind of life in it if it didn't have a spirit coming from God. So that when a man and woman comes together in conception there, and they and she becomes pregnant. At the moment that seed comes together and life begins, God brings that little spirit into that. It's right there, right then, because that's what makes all of life come, is the spirit part. It's from God. It's the light of God. So that whenever a child is born, that child is born in sin, but yet that birthing of that spirit came from God. But when he comes into this earth, the light goes out because of Adam. So that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Romans, right? You know about Romans? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That didn't mean that baby sinned. It meant that baby was a part of the transgression. And because it came through the two seeds that had lost their light from God and presence of God, it had to lose its light and its presence of God because of the transgression. It don't seem fair, does it? But that's the way God designed it. But that's the reason God sent his grace and his mercy and his gift to bring redemption to all men. That's the reason he sent one seed out of the throne himself, and he came down himself as a part of the Trinity and took on flesh and blood. And he had a living life spirit in him. Why did Jesus have that living life spirit in him and not like every other baby? Because his birth was supernaturally conceived by the Word of God being placed inside of Mary's womb. Every other baby that come in this earth was not that way. Mary had a baby and no man was a part of it. So the transgression didn't pass over into Jesus and didn't take the life and the light out of Jesus' spirit. So he could be the redeemer of all mankind. Amen. We know this, don't we? So I don't want to get too deeply in that again, but I just wanted you to understand, because when we're talking about here, believing, we're having the Word of God is near us. It's in our mouth and in our heart. It's in our mouth and in our heart. It's not in one and not the other. It's in both. It can't be in your mouth and not in your heart. And it can't be in your heart and not in your mouth. But if it's in your mouth and your heart, it's going to produce. Amen. It's called the word of faith, which we preach. Everybody say the word of faith. Now look here. Verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth, everybody say with my mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in my heart, in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be. There's a power released when the heart and the mouth are together. When the Word of God produces something that is both in our heart and in our mouth, there is a power called faith that is released. We talked about last week about the grace of God, that God has given us everything by grace. We don't have to work for it, so faith cannot become a work. It has to be a believing and a receiving and a confessing. We have to take what Jesus has done and put it in our heart and put it in our mouth, and then it becomes a reality. Amen. So that it doesn't become a work, because the grace of God has provided everything, things that you haven't even obtained yet. But it's all been provided for. The grace of God is enough that right now, tonight, in just a second of a moment of time, everybody in the whole world, if they were to receive that grace and know how to tap that grace, they could be born again. Isn't that right? Because there's nothing that they got to do to get it, because Jesus has already done it. That's what grace is, the provision for what we already have need of and what is already needed in our life, no matter what it is. If it's good, it's in the provision. If it's a blessing, it's in the provision. If it's life, it's in the provision. And grace is already provided. But we learned last week in the scriptures in Romans, it said, by faith we tap the grace. Say it with me. By faith we tap the grace. Hey, let's go back. Let's pick that one up again too. Because we don't have to be in a hurry, do we? To get through it. Praise God. We got till Jesus comes. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 is one of them. And then chapter 5 sitting right there with verse 1 and 2. Let's look at 16th verse of chapter 4 first again. I'm not going to teach on it, but I want you to see it again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It's not by grace by itself. It's by faith that it might be by grace. The grace is the provision, but faith is the access key. That access is what is provided. We talked about cars last week. Y'all remember that? Okay. Then go to chapter, let me read the rest of that so you don't think I'm skipping something. To the end, the promise might be sure to a few of the seed. To how many? To all the seed. It is, in other words, everybody has been given the grace and everybody's been given the access key. The access key is what? Come on, you with me tonight? The access key is what? So everybody who has the grace, the provision, also has the access key. Somebody says, where's my key? It's as near as your mouth and your heart. Your key is as close as your mouth and your heart, your soul, your inner man. Amen? So he says to all the seed. Everybody say all the seed. Not that which is only of the law of Moses, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We'll find out, if we were studying on this, we find out Abraham is called the father of faith. So that he is the father basically the law that came out of Moses. He's the father of those who are under the first covenant. And he's also the father of those who come out of the new covenant, which is us, because we came in by faith. They came in by works of the law. But we came in by faith. We're not under works anymore. We're under faith. It's grace and faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. He said, therefore, being justified by what? Faith. Being justified by what? Faith. What that means is, justified means just as if you'd never sinned. Just as if you had never sinned. Just as if you had never been a sinner. How many of you know that you're not a sinner saved by grace? What's wrong with saying I'm a sinner saved by grace? Because when you say I am, that means you still are. If there's grace and you've tapped it, then you cannot be a sinner anymore. Because God said, I made you my righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that you can't be a sinner saved by grace. If you're saved by grace, that means faith in you, your faith in God's word has tapped the grace and it's changed you. So you can't go around saying any longer, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Why? Because you're not a sinner anymore. Not if you tap the grace. Amen. Okay, let's look at it. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. See, if you were still a sinner, you wouldn't have no peace with God. Sinners don't have peace with God. Only those who are born again. Anybody got some peace with God tonight? Aren't you glad? Did you ever live a part of your life you didn't have any peace with God? I lived about 20 years of mine without any peace with God. I didn't have no peace with God. Amen. I had some times that God appeared. God, no, he didn't appear to me. He came to me and talked to me through the inner self. But I had some experiences with God that he spoke to me when I was a child. But that didn't save me. I wasn't born again. I wasn't born again until I was 20 years old. Until I entered in with my heart and my mouth. Amen. We always had the grace. We always had the provision, but I didn't tap into it until I was 20 years old because I made the choice to choose what he wanted me to have. And when I chose it, that brought the grace and that brought the provision into my life. And I became born again. Look at verse 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into that grace, into his grace. We have what? We have access by what? Into what? So grace has everything we need. It's already been provided. But guess what? Our faith will access what has already been provided. And how do we have faith? By having the word in our heart and in our mouth. It's near us. It's not far off. It's not some word that you got to go way up and get God to bring it down. It's not way down and you got to go get God to bring it up. It's not way across the sea that you got to go across the sea and get it brought over to you. The faith is as close as your heart and your mouth. Your access is so close because it's right where you are. It's with this tongue. Most of them's red. Unless you've been chewing something. Amen. Isn't amazing? We got a red tongue. Okay. But it's as close. Faith is as close. Say it with me. Faith is as close as my heart and my mouth. Isn't that what he's telling us here? Now go back to Romans again, chapter 10. Isn't that what he told Israel? He told him, he said, it's nigh you, it's in your heart and in your mouth. And if we'll look closely, we'll find out that he talks about the mouth before he talks about the heart. He puts the mouth in front of the heart. Hello? He says, look at verse 8 again. It says, what saith it? The word is nigh you. Your answer is always as close as your mouth and heart. Your ability to deal with any situation as a Christian in life is as close as your mouth. How close is your mouth to you all the time? Did you leave this morning, leave your mouth at home? Anybody leave their mouth at home today? Did you leave it tonight? Y'all are mighty quiet. See, I'm wondering. I see something that looks like a mouth, but I don't hear anything that sounds like one. A mouth is made to make noise. A mouth is made to speak. It's not made to be to silent. God will not respond to silence. God wants us to speak. We are speaking spirits. We are speaking spirits, not quiet spirits, not deaf and dumb spirits. We are speaking spirits. So God is saying, faith is always as close to you as your mouth and your heart. Why? Because he wants the heart and the mouth to coincide together. The power of two. You want, say, describe to me the power in two. Husband and wife. Did you get it? No, y'all missed it. The power of two. Husband, wife. I'm going to tell you. What's wrong with y'all folks tonight? A man can't do it, can't make life without himself, by himself. A woman can't make life with another life by herself. But the two of them have the power to do it. Whatever you need, the power to do it is in your heart and in your mouth. God is saying here, what you have got to get in your heart and your mouth is my word. My word is not far from you. It's sitting in most of your lap. The word is not somewhere way off, and your heart is not way off, and your mouth is not way off. So anything that we need called life, good, and blessing, it's as close as our heart and our mouth. If we know how to access from our heart and our mouth, we can get from God everything that Jesus gave us in the grace. Everything that's been provided in grace is as close as our heart and our mouth. Here he's talking about the experience of being born again. But I'm telling you, after you get born again, you still need what is in the grace of God to live a victorious life as a Christian. Otherwise, you're just going to work and work and work and try to make works make it out. Now, God's not against work, and I don't think he's wanting to produce a bunch of lazy Christians that don't ever work. I think we need to work. I think it's good for us to work. But God don't want us to think that we've got to get everything in our Christian life by works. He wants us to know we can get it by faith. Hello. The very fact that you are born again is not because you did some works to get born again. You had to activate your new birth by your heart and your mouth. You had to use your heart and your mouth. And guess what? It was probably because you sat somewhere, or you maybe in a church, maybe you heard it on a radio or somewhere, a television. Somebody was preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, so that the word was closed and the mouth was closed and the heart was closed, and the word got together with the heart and with the mouth, and boom, a new birth came to pass inside of us. That's the only way it can happen, so that not only are you born again that way, but that's the way you're supposed to live. That's the way we're supposed to live life. Amen. We're not supposed to go back now and try to live it some other way. The way we got into the kingdom is the way we're supposed to live in the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah, folks. I mean, God didn't say, well, I'm going to figure out some other kind of way now so that I can get it. No, he said, it's the same way. It's through the heart and the mouth. And the word has to be there. The heart has to be there. And the mouth has to be hooked up together. And when all three get hooked up together, the blessings come. Amen. The good comes. The life comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll be honest with you. That's the same way the curse comes. Because it's on the other end. We hear the word of the world, which is opposite from the word of God. And the word of the world produces something in our heart, and we speak it out of our mouth, so that our heart and our mouth and the word of the world are working together, producing death, the curse, amen, and evil. It's not a special science that we have to figure out. It's already been figured out. We get confused when we think, well, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Things ain't working just right. Well, if things ain't working just right, you ain't got your heart and you ain't got your mouth and the word together. And that includes the person who's preaching to you. Amen. That we all got to get all three of these together in order for it to work. Amen. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that when the heart and the mouth are totally together, it will produce. Amen. Now here's the part I want us to kind of leave with tonight. Verse 17. So then faith cometh. How many of you know we want faith to come? Why? Because if faith doesn't cometh, access won't open. Everything that God, how many of you believe God has opened the access of everything that you have need of, and even the desires of your heart? How many of you believe that Jesus paved the way and paved the way so that we could have anything good that is out there in this world? Forget about this religious idea about God not wanting to give you any good thing because it may corrupt you. That's a bunch of religious hogwash. The devil wants you to eat that and suck that in, become a part of what you believe in your heart and a part of what you say out of your mouth, so that he can hold you in bondage. God wants good things for us. God wants us to live in good things. Amen. God wants us to drive good things. Hallelujah. Okay, now look what he said. So then faith cometh. Everybody say faith cometh.
Faith cometh.
Say it again. Faith cometh.
Faith cometh.
This is a revelation. Faith cometh. Say it again. Faith cometh.
Faith cometh.
Faith cometh. By hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we could say faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, and what we must be hearing is the word of God.
Amen.
So the key to faith is simple. We've got to have a regular access to our life, the hearing of God's word. Oh, you hear me? It didn't say faith comes by reading and we should read. But it didn't say faith would come by reading. Now, if you read out loud, then you'd hear it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word's always going to be close to us. Amen? The word's close to everybody. So that we have to hear and hear in order that we might connect our heart and our mouth together with what we're hearing. Let me see if I can. Let me go back. Oh, let me go back to something in the Old Testament. I don't think I have this one on your list. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here's what they did. Now we're on a better side of this than the Old Covenant. Amen. But we still have to follow a same process. It's not a work. For a believer to be in the Word of God is not a chore. It's not a work. It's a love. Why? Because I was born of the Word. And the Word is my food for my spirit, like my food I have on the table is food for my body. And I just go sit down at the table. Somebody may have to work to fix it. Okay. But again, that's a good illustration. God worked to set the table, and he just told us to come scoot up to the table. When it's the word of God. Amen? Now, how many just found Deuteronomy 11? Look at verse 18. Here's what they had to do. It said, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. The only thing I can think about as frontlets is the way we used to have. My daddy actually plowed mules, and they took the mules before they had tractors, and they would put them out, and they would put this gear on the mule, and one part of the gear would be that they would put this thing around the head, and they would take the around the eyes, they would make it to where it would curve out to where that mule couldn't look this way or that way. That mule had to look straight down the road where they wanted him to plow. So God is telling them, put my word like that before your eyes so that you can't glance to the left or to the right, but you have to look straight on to the word of God. Like frontless before your eyes. Verse 19, and you shall teach them to your children. You shall teach them to your children. What? God's word. Speaking of them, look at there, speaking. You got to make sure that the word's hooked up to the speaker.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's your tongue. In other words, not only do you want your eyes looking on right onto the word, but you want to make sure your tongue gets connected to that word, because when your heart and your mouth get connected to a speaker, how many of you know we wouldn't have enjoyed this praise and worship tonight had we not had these microphones hooked up to a speaker somewhere? Your mouth is your speaker. Your heart is your receiver. Your mouth is your speaker. And when the heart and the mouth get hooked up, faith will produce in us what it was designed to produce. So here he says, teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now wait a minute. That's four things. Speak when you're sitting, speak when you're walking, speak when you're lying down, and speak when you get up. I guess you better be talking all the time. And you better be talking the Word of God if you want the right results. See, the Word is a producer. The Word produces faith. Hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, so that we hear and hear and hear. How are we going to hear? We're going to talk about it in the morning. We're going to talk about it at night. We're going to talk about it at noontime. What are we going to talk? We're going to talk the word.
Amen.
We're going to talk the word that God gave us. We're going to talk the word of the covenant that God gave us, so that we're going to lay it down to our children. He said, lay it down to your children by speaking to them and telling them when you sit down, when you rise up, when you lay down, or when you get up. He said, speak the word to them all the time. Why? Because faith is coming. Verse 20. And thou shalt write them. It ain't good enough just to speak them. He told them, write them. Write them. Everybody say, write them. He said, write them upon the doorposts of your house. Why does he want them on the doorposts of our house? Because that's where you go in and out all the time. Why is he telling them to do this? So they can have faith in the covenant that he provided, and they can have the results of what the covenant provision was providing for them. So he said, write them on your doorposts. Write them on. I mean, I don't know about you, but there was a time in our life when we came into the faith wall, we was writing stuff and putting it in front of the toilet. Why? Because you stay on the toilet quite a bit. Any place that you have a lot of activity, you need the word of God before your eyes. You need to have it coming out your ears. I don't know about you, but we go to bed every night, and we go to sleep with the word of God preaching to us every night. When we get up in the morning, we turn it back on while we're getting ready, while we're doing something. It's not a work to us. It's not a chore to us. It's life to us. And guess what? When the word is coming, it's connecting with the heart and connecting with the mouth. And when the heart and the mouth get connected to God's word, faith comes. And guess what? The access to anything we need. It's sitting right there. The access is there because faith accesses it. Amen? Now let me close with this one. Glory to God. Go with me over to Joshua. Joshua. Joshua took Moses' place. I said Joshua took Moses' place. Well, that's a big pair of shoes to fill. Don't you think so? I mean, Moses' shoes is a big pair of shoes of responsibility to fill. But Joshua was chosen of God to fill Moses' shoes. Moses messed up. How many know Moses messed up? He got upset with the people, and he got angry with the people, and he made a decision based out of anger, and through that decision he made based out of anger, God said, you're not going to be able to lead the people into the promised land. He said, I'm going to show you the promised land, but you won't be able to go in. And you won't be able to lead the people in. Does anybody know what that mistake was? A few of you know what that mistake was. He told him to take the rod and strike the rock and water come out. But there was one time he told him to not strike the rod on the rock, but to speak to the rock. Everybody say speak.
Speak.
Speak to the rock. Now, one of the reasons that he didn't want him to strike that rock a second time is because the rock was Jesus, and he was only going to be smitten once.
That's right.
For our sins. So that he said, don't use the rod and strike that rock another time, but speak to it and tell the water to come out. See, our covenant is made by speaking.
Amen.
By speaking, we're speaking spirits, so we speak the covenant. Okay, now let me get this one. Look at verse 7 and 8, just two verses, and we'll go tonight. Chapter 1. When he's taking over, God is speaking to him, and this is what he said. Actually, verse 6 and 7 and 8. Might as well get them. Be strong, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. How many of you know, if you're going to have to do the word and you can't turn from it to the right or left, you're going to have to keep that word constantly before you. It's going to have to be before your eyes. It's going to have to be before maybe on paper. It's got to be there. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You see it? Mouth. Everybody say mouth. He said, this is how you're going to succeed, Joshua. The book of the law, which is basically the covenant, the word of God, shall not depart from coming out your mouth. You're going to have to be talking this and speaking this out of your mouth. Right? But you shall meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Why? Because when you meditate on the word day and night, it's before you at all times. It's right there with you so that it's in your heart and it's coming out your mouth. And guess what? The faith to make it happen is coming. When those three elements get together, the faith is making it happen. The word meditate, write this down. The word meditate means to mutter. I didn't say your mother. I said mutter. Mutter. Help me with it. Say it with me. Mutter. Mutter. Now, a lot of us mutter when we get angry. We know how to mutter. We know how to mutter. You may think you don't know how to mutter, but if we was with you 24/7, we could probably, and you could probably find it in any of us, that there's times that we have things that we mutter about. Softly speaking under your breath, but just enough above your breath that you're able to hear. How many of them know, not only do we need to hear inside of us, but we need to hear outside of us through these ears. We don't only need to hear somebody else through these ears, we need to hear ourselves through our ears. You may want to write that one down, because that's really where we need to process this. The Word of God is not, it's great. We need to be hearing it from the outside in, from somebody else, but we need to hear more from us coming out of our mouth than we even need to hear from somebody else coming out of our mouth. We got to speak it. Speak it. We got to say it. And here he said, my mouth is going to do its job, because he meditated day and night in the Word of God. He meditated on it. Everybody say meditated on it. So it means to mutter. Here's another definition of it. To speak in a low voice over and over repeatedly. To speak in a low voice over and over repeatedly. Now, I got to add one thing. To speak to oneself in a low voice over and over repeatedly. Who are we talking to when we're muttering? Us. What are we muttering? The Word of God. What is happening when we start muttering the Word of God? Our heart begins to connect with our speaker, our mouth, and guess what? The Word then produces the faith for whatever we're needing. Joshua's needing to be able to take Moses' place and do what Moses couldn't do, get the people into the promised land and get their promises to them. Amen? What? I'm closing. What do you need from God? What is it that you and I need from God? What is it that we need from God? The answer is as close as our heart and our mouth. Amen. Are you hearing me? It's not way off somewhere that we got to go and get it. It's not up. See, everybody thinks everything's in heaven. It's not in heaven. It's not up there that we got to go get it and bring it down. Jesus already been up there. He already come down. And he already went back up. It's not down anymore. Jesus already been as low as you can go to hell. And already come back up and went back to heaven. So it's not up that we bring it down. It's not down that we bring it up. It's not across the ocean that we have to go and bring it to us. It's as close as our heart and our mouth. The word of faith we preach. So that if the word gets hooked up to the heart and the mouth, we have the access to whatever. Quit waiting on God to do it. God has already done all he's going to do. Do your duty. not a works. I'm closing. If you are a believer, you should not have to work to get in the Word. It shouldn't be something you're toiling to get into. Something's wrong. Something's wrong if you're having to toil to get in the Bible. Something's wrong there if you're having to work at it. It's not works. You're going the wrong path if it's works. You need to stop and realize you're on the wrong road somewhere. Don't go down the road of works. The works has already been done. It should be a joy to be in the Word of God. It should be the greatest thing in your life as a believer to be in the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you've heard some scripture 100,000 times. 100,001 is just as joyful as the 100,000 times you've heard it. We got to realize, hey, listen, the Word is the lifeblood of my being. I don't have to work to get my blood to go through my body. Are you hearing me? I don't have to go to this morning and say, what am I going to do to be able to get it down to my feet? How am I going to get it down to that big toe? No. The Word's designed to work. The Word is designed to work. We just got to have the joy and the heart that's there to get in it. The Word, we realize every time I get it, it's a love. It's a love. Come on, folks. I don't love the Word just because I preach. I love the Word. Before I was ever a preacher, I was in love with the Word. Amen. God was doing miracles before I ever become a preacher. God was working things on my job because I loved the Word of God, and the Word of God was connecting. I was meditating in the Word of God, and the love of that Word and the meditation of that Word would help me in my work during the day. Help me on my job. Hallelujah. It would help me know to do things and do things before and not mess up things. Praise God. Where's our love? We got to get the first love. The other reason said we got to go back sometime to our first love. Where is our first love? Our first love is in that God is His Word and the Word is God. Fellowship is in the Word. Life is in the Word. Joy is in the Word. Peace is in the Word. Prosperity is in the Word. All I got to do is love the Word and get my heart and my mouth connected. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that?